Hello, 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 and blessings to everyone. Welcome to You Are Not Your Trauma with Dr. Wendy Rhodes. Today's guest is the most fabulous, fabulous Yolanda Mitchell. She is a serial entrepreneur, a blessing to have as a friend, and to be able to even know her is to love her. So first off, I am going to go ahead and do our little countdown, and we're going to do a little intro here. Then we're going to bring this fabulous woman in so that you guys can get to know her and love her. Like I said, to know her is to love her. So here we go. Welcome back, everybody. Again, this is Dr. Wendy Rhodes. I am a wound care coach and expert. I provide a confidential place for women, even men, because men have traumas too. But the main thing here is that we are not our traumas. No matter what we've gone through, we are not our traumas. And so today, our guest today is the prophetess Yolanda Mitchell, and I'm going to bring her in so she can introduce herself, and I am so blessed to have her on here today.
Hey, Dr. Wendy, how are you? This is such a pleasure and an honor to be here with you on today. I'm so excited. And so are you. Yes.
Blessings
to you. I am Yolanda Mitchell. I am the CEO and founder of Nubian Queens Women Empowerment Ministry Movement. I am also the chief and editor of MBQ Magazine. And I am also Nubian Queens radio talk show host on Zenith Radio with beautiful hosts. I have co-host Ernestine Smith, Vicki Robinson, and Timothy Carter, Apostle Timothy Carter, beautiful cast for the show. And we do lives, we do all sorts of things. So this right here is an honor to be here on the show to talk about I'm Not Your Trauma. So thank you, Dr. Wendy, for this beautiful opportunity to be on the show. Gonna take me off mute. You gotta get off mute.
Self off mute. I'm just ready to go. Right.
You are doing it.
Like, first off, so first thing is first. Thank you so much for accepting the invitation to come on this platform today. Thank you so much. So, Yolanda, what I want to know is, what does it mean to you to not be your trauma? What does it mean to you not to be your trauma?
Well, this is how I see it, because I have experienced some trauma even as a child. And for me to look at that and say, yeah, I have, you know, been molested as a child. Dad may have left my life, may have almost lost my children, you know, divorced. And how the divorce went was just really just traumatic, because that was a situation with him being with some, you know, finding someone in the church, and then now they're coming to the church together, you know. So that was traumatic for me. That was, I mean, I have had a lot of trauma, but I had to heal from that trauma. I had to heal from the things that I experienced so that I can move forward and see, you know what? These people were not trying to hurt you, break you, tear you down, you know, do you any harm, really. They just didn't know any better. So I had to look at the fact that I am not my trauma. What I experienced in my life, I am not that person. I am, because, you know, trauma makes you feel like you're inadequate. You're not good enough. You're not special. You're not important. Trauma makes you feel like you're about to lose your mind. You're going crazy, about to have a nervous breakdown. Trauma makes you feel all sorts of things. So I had to tell myself, I am not my trauma. I am not what I went through as a child. I am not the things that I experienced in life. That is not me. What, who I am the CEO and founder of New Big Queens Women Empowerment. Okay. I am the chief and editor of NBQ Magazine. I am, you know, a co-host, you know, because the enemy tried to shut me down. My trauma tried to shut me up and tell me that my voice cannot be heard. Because when you get molested as a child, it tried to shut you down. And you begin to feel like I'm not supposed to talk. My voice is not to be heard. I'm not, you know, so I had to tell myself, you are not your trauma. You are not what you went through as a little girl. And that little girl and me had to grow up because I was stuck. Oh, God, I see God. I was stuck. When that molestation took place when I was a child, it held me bound for years. And I was stuck in that. So I was an older woman in my 30s having little girl temper tantrums because I couldn't be heard when I was younger. Come on. They wouldn't hear me out when I was a little girl. So now I've gotten older. Now that grown woman wants to be heard. I got a voice. I got to say something. I can speak up for myself. And so when I began to receive healing, I had to realize that little girl in me was speaking up. That's who's talking. That's not you talking. That's that little girl that needed to be healed. That little girl wants to speak up and finally have a voice to be heard and speak and talk about it. Let's talk about that little girl who's speaking through you. And once that little girl began to talk, she began to mature. She started feeling better. And then she developed into who I am today. So I understand now I am not my trauma.
Listen, let me tell you something. You have hit so many valid points. I'm like, I couldn't even keep track of everything because I was like, yeah, that part. But the healing process, see, what a lot of people don't understand is that when you're a child that is destined for greatness, Satan tries to take you out early.
Early.
He tries to wreck your brain. He tried to mess you up. He tried to sabotage everything pertaining to you so that way he could muzzle you to keep you from having a voice.
Right.
So that voice that's inside of you, whether it be somebody molesting you, somebody, you know, doing anything to you or saying something about you to muzzle you.
Come on.
Those are the things that Satan used to keep you quiet.
Come on.
Just to keep you quiet. And it's weird that a marriage, you mentioned a marriage.
Oh, yeah.
The traumas behind marriage is something else.
It is.
That is something else, I tell you. So at this point, tell me how, like, what happened with the mindset shift, or how long did it take you to realize that you weren't your trauma, and not only that you were not your trauma, that how long did it take you to figure that there was somebody else, or there was, you know what I'm saying, like a higher being or something that gave you the strength to push forward?
Well, to be honest, it took another hit. I took another hit because I still at that time, when I started to know who God was, I had another hit, another hump in the road where I almost lost my son and my daughter at the same time, when my son was severely burned and he was burned all over his face, his hands, his chest. And he was sitting up in the hospital room fighting for his life, and his head was as big as ours. And it was just, I'm not going to details, you know, how, because it's very gruesome. I mean, it was just imagine gas fire on your face. And I was 5 months pregnant, and I was about 20, 21 years old, and I almost lost both my babies because during this time that he had this experience, I was outside, I was inside the house, and he was outside when this happened. He got caught on fire at 6 years old, and I was 5 months pregnant. When I went outside, I fell flat on my stomach. And so when they life flighted him to the hospital, to the intensive care unit, they were trying to hospitalize me because they couldn't feel my daughter moving. So her heart was not, you know, beating, you know, she was just, you know, like, you know, not there. So they was trying to say, we got to hospitalize you. We got to put you in hospital. Not with my son fighting for his life. I'm going to be there by his side as a mother because he's going to need to be able to pull some of that energy from that life force for me. I am not going to, I don't know this baby in my belly, but that 6 year old in that bed fight for his life, I know him. Well, I went into the bathroom one day. I needed to just let go. I just needed to just scream. I wanted to, but I knew at the same time, I am in intensive care unit in the hospital, in the bathroom, and I can't scream. I would wake my son up, and you know, and I remember feeling the veins about to pop out of my head, and I remember being on the floor just crying so hard. I mean, it kind of reminds me of Hannah. You know, that kind of cry that she was doing, you know, when she was this, I can imagine her with this anguish within her and just that longing of wanting help. And I remember saying, why, God, I don't understand why, you know, I'm 21 years old, you know, I'm still trying to figure out life, you know, and I'm about to lose my son and my daughter. I'm pregnant. I'm about to lose my mind. You know, I'm about to lose my children. I don't understand this. And I was asking God why. I didn't know what else to ask him. I mean, I knew of God, but I didn't have a real relationship with God, you know? And so I remember asking God why. And then the Holy Spirit came to me. The angel of the Lord came to me in a dream. The angel of the Lord came to me in a dream and said, stop asking why. Ask God to help you. And I remember immediately I began to ask God to help me. And when I began to ask God to help me, I remember the doctors coming in the next day. And they see my son and they said, my God, what a miracle. He don't even look the same. His skin is coming back. His color is coming back. Like it's a miracle. And then I realized that I have a special thing, me and God. We have a special thing here. Now I know God, I have a relationship with him. And then I begin to realize that I can change, you know, things in through prayer. And so I realized that if I continue to consult God, I continue to be in his presence, I continue to communicate with him, he'll help me with all these other things that's going on in my life. And as I got older, I realized that when the trauma with all the ways I would act out as a grown woman, that little girl would act out, I knew then that if God helped me with that situation with my son, which was traumatic, because they even told me that my baby that I was carrying, they said she's not going to last no more than 5 days after she's born. She's going to be a waterhead baby. She's going to be this. And so she was not supposed to have lived. My baby is 23 years old today, okay? My six-year-old son, who was supposed to, wasn't going to make it because two people in the hospital had the same infection that my six-year-old son got. Two grown men died the same night with the same infection that my son had, okay? But through the prayers of the righteous, availeth much. When I tell you, the prayers of those people, and my, you know, I can't even credit myself. It was nobody but God that helped my son, but he lived through it. My son turned 30 years old yesterday. Come on. Okay? And so God began to, you know, reveal to me during those times when I formed a relationship with him that he is the great I am, that he will fix all things. If you consult him, if you humbly come to him and you sincerely want help for real, then God will help you with all these things. So I began to transition my mind frame to have a relationship more with him, because if he helped me through that traumatic incident when I was younger, surely he can help me now. They say he's the same God today, yesterday, and forevermore. If he is that same God then, surely he can help me now. And so I just, you know, try to stay in that vein of continuously keeping God first and keeping him in my life, because so many other things, even after that, begin to happen. You got to keep God first so that he can help you. But that's when it first started happening. So it took another even more traumatic incident. So you thought the molestation was something. You thought right. That, you know, your dad not being in your life was something. You thought that, you know, your boyfriend, you know, you just thought that all kind of stuff, not having a boyfriend, he breaking up with you was bad, you know. But honey, you think, okay, you say, oh, you think that's bad. So let's, you know, what you think will happen when I almost kill your son? when I almost put him up through a fire, when he can't even scream or yell at 6 years old and say, help me, because the fire consumed it. He said the fire tried to get in his mouth. So it burned out of his mouth. His lip was burnt, taken from here to here. When it healed, his lip was folded to his chin. You know, scars. You know, they see Freddy Krueger in those burns and how he leave those scars on your face. You have no lashes, no eyebrows, no skin color. He was the color of my background.
Wow.
He was my color before it happened.
But won't God do it?
Won't he do it?
Won't he do it?
Don't, so nobody
won't
can't
he do it? It. And that's funny because, so you were a teen mom.
Yes, ma'am.
You were a teen mom. So I'm was sure. I. And those things can be traumatic too.
I gave birth at 15. I gave my little body, gave birth at 15.
And my little body did the same thing. My son was my gift 2 weeks before my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
He came. Wow. I wasn't 16 yet. But it's like just going through all of that. And at the age of 21, that happens. So you on your way to having your second child. Then they tell you this about that one. That is a lot. And then when you finally discover that through prayer, like God is there. See, just even knowing that God is there when you pray and he proved it to you that he's not a man, that he will not let you down.
Not.
Because if you're anything like me, you probably lost your relationship with God a long time ago before all of that. Didn't even think about God. Am I right?
Well, I knew of God, but I didn't know him. I didn't have a relationship with him. I knew of him, but that incident helped me to know him. So when some people say, well, I didn't get to know God until I was like, you know, 20, 30 years old. I got to know him through tragic, through trauma, through anguish and pain. He came through for me. Like for me, finally, I feel like I got somebody that can help me because I had, you know, I had people praying for me and you know, being there for me, but it was nothing like the presence of God. I didn't feel like I was alone finally. You know, when I didn't have a daddy, I felt a presence of a daddy figure to hold me when I was in the hospital room, because when you're in intensive care, you can't have all those visitors. You can't have people come in and stand and just lagging around. They got to go home. Only one person can be there. So with me at my age of 21 years old and seeing my baby fighting for his life, and I have nobody I can call and talk to. I didn't want to talk to him because I want to be there by my son's side. And I didn't want him to hear his mother's pain. I want him to hear strength come from me. I want him to know that I'm right there with you. You're not alone. And your mom, she's not breaking down in your presence. She's not breaking down. So when people would come and I would visit and go outside, I needed to cry. I would go outside and cry. But when I came back strong. I came back empowered. I came back with strength. I felt the presence of God, you know, and through those situations right there is when I've developed a strong relationship with God. And I knew then that if I wanted something, I could go tell my daddy. And I also knew, you better not bother me, because I go tell my daddy.
Well, I tell you, we were not alike in that aspect, I tell you. I used to do the same thing, be like, you know what? I am going to tell my daddy on you.
I'm telling you.
I'm going to tell my daddy. I don't care. I'm going to tell my daddy. You don't like it, bad. I'm going to tell my daddy on you. So I want to kind of push forward, and I wanted to know, where was the New Being Queen movement birthed from?
Oh my, now you listen, you going somewhere with that one, because let me tell you how the New Being Queen movement came about. It's just so funny that God even had to check me, you know, as far as my, you know, my level of insecurities and stuff. So he told me to leave my job. You tell me to leave my job. I ain't got a backup plan. I ain't got another job on the side. And you just want me to just leave this job. Just let it go. Just let it go. Well, who does that? And then he was telling me to move away from the ministry. Why would you do that? So I did. I obeyed God. But let me tell y'all something. I didn't obey him right then. I ain't going to sit there and lie to y'all and tell you that I jumped up and left that job. It got real tense. It got to the point my life was on the line. So I ended up having to leave the job. My back was pushed against the wall. And I knew that it was happening because I didn't obey God the first time, the first couple of times, you know. And I was like, this job making good money. I have benefits, good insurance. I'm not going to leave. No, who does that? Like, that's crazy. God? And I knew it was him talking to me, Daddy. You know, so I was obedient. I was disobedient. So I left the job. And then God said, you got one more assignment. And I said, no, you want to leave the ministry? Because that doesn't make any sense. I don't want to leave. I know what I'm doing here. He said, you knew what you was doing on the job. You were complacent. You knew every facet of that job. And now I'm telling you to leave that ministry. And I was like, why would somebody tell you to leave church? You know, and stuff started getting heated up there too. It was like so much stuff that was happening in my life. I was about to lose my dad. My dad was on his life support. He was dying. I had an incident happen on my job. I was lost my life several times at the job. And I was going through things personally at my house. So stuff started getting heated. And so I had to just get a still away from everything. So what God was doing with the ministry and the job, he was stripping me of those titles. I was Sergeant Mitchell at the job. Matter of fact, I was like the senior sergeant on both campus, both compounds, work camp, main unit, in the annex. I was a senior sergeant. And I had to leave. When it came out to the ministry, I knew a thing about administration that I could possibly get from that ministry. And it was a beautiful ministry. I'm talking about, I mean, a minister that thought on a greater scale, and God told me to leave the ministry. But he was just stripping me of those titles, and I was minister elect. And so I'd be stripped of those titles. And then when I found myself by myself, I said, God, I don't understand about myself. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know who I am. I don't know what you want me to do. I don't understand this. And he said, who are you now since I'm stripping you of your titles? Who are you now? I said, I'm nobody. I don't know who I am. You know, he said, you are Yolanda Mitchell. And I said, I don't know who that is. And he began to show me one day in the house, show me Yolanda Mitchell. And he showed me a big old bear. Now, okay. So, and he said, okay, I see you looking. So tell me what you think about this bear. I said, it's big and it's scary. It's real big and it can hurt me. And he said, but think about it. What is that bear doing to you? I said, it's just standing there. And he said, it's you. And I said, so he said, that bigness that you're seeing, he said, you're big in the spirit realm. But you are really soft. Because you think about it, you get a bear, you hold a teddy bear, how soft it is. And he said, but you a soft individual. But you ain't nothing to play with in the spirit realm. Hey, God! You ain't.
Come on. Come on, God.
You're bigger than you know. And he began to tell me that you're going to be doing great things. And people will be intimidated by you. But at the end of the day, if they get to know you, they realize that you're really soft and cuddly. While they be intimidated by you, they really realize that you're a really kind and nice individual. And you are a protector. Because you think about a mother bear. She will maul you to death when they come down and hurt her baby, her cubs. She will take you out. And at the same time, in the spirit realm, she will do the same thing when it comes down to something that she knows that she's to protect.
That's right.
And so when God said, I feel like I don't know. He said, you are a new being in Christ. You are a new being in Christ. And remind you, we go back when I was a little girl, I didn't feel beautiful because of the violation. I didn't feel important. I felt like I wasn't good enough. I felt like I wasn't worthy. And then he said, queen. I looked around. Woo-hoo. Queen. No, wait a minute. Okay, I can take new being in Christ. I can take that, you know, new being, you know, but queen, no. I can't. Why would you do that? I don't dress like a queen. I don't act like a queen. I don't look like a queen. I don't, you know, and he said, what is your definition of a queen? I said, she's beautiful. She owns her own area. She calls the shots. You know, she has a king. You know, she's doing big things. She owns her own. And, you know, and he said, okay. But at the end of the day, how does she think she got there to the point where she began to own what she is? It started inwardly. And so all of you looking at yourself on the outside, inwardly is going to have to be the work that's going to be done in you. And through all that you've been through. And he said, on top of that, a queen also knows who she is. And she walks in it confidently. And she empowers and encourages other queens. She lifts them up. She's not intimidated about the things that they do. She wants to see them do good and even better than she. because she understands that she's building something here, you know? And I was like, oh my God. He said, so don't you empower women? Don't you love to encourage them? He said, you're speaking to the queen within. When you say queen, arise. Queen, come up. When you call them queen, you're telling them, come up from that place of feeling worthless. Come up from that place to feel like you're inadequate. Come up from that place to feel like you don't matter. Come up from that place that you feel like you don't have a voice. Come, queen, come forth, queen. Woman of God, come forth, rise. And be who God called you to be.
Unapologetically.
And to see through Christ. So it doesn't matter if they look at you like you're strange and weird, because I always felt like I was different. I always felt different and strange and weird and felt out of place because, I wasn't supposed to fit in. I was supposed to stand out. I wanted to be in the crowd. I wanted to be with everybody else. I didn't want to be separated from the pack. I wanted to blend in. I didn't want to be a misfit. Why I got to be separated? Why I got to be different? Didn't understand that was God separating me from the pack so he can do the work with me. And I didn't realize that during the times I was by myself and I had to encourage myself, that he was going to use me to encourage other women that felt worthless, that felt inadequate, that felt like they couldn't get it done, felt like they were not needed and necessary, felt like they just wanted to just be blending in. I just, wanted to be invisible. And then God took me from the back to the front, queen, arise. And encourage and empower other women to be who I call them to be unapologetically, and you cheer them on. And that's where New Being Queen started from. Because I didn't look like a queen. I didn't dress like a queen. But he said, I've equipped you to be that. Because you're looking at all these other women. One of the women that came forth, the name came that God dropped in my spirit was Queen Latifah. He said, how does she know? But she's still Queen Latifah. Because you're looking at all these other queens. But the Queen Latifah make a difference in this world. Did she not come out and do some things? Queen Latifah was with the stuff back then. She was doing a lot of things, And so God said, I'm doing a comparison, but God wanted me to know, when it comes down to even the lesser queens, to just look at it in that aspect of Queen Latifah did some big things. We're not talking about biblical and scriptures. God had to break it down to me like that. Sometimes he have to be real. He have to, say, okay, let's not talk about the biblical things because you're looking like it's a fairy tale. Are you looking like it can't happen? So let's bring it to the natural form of it.
Right.
And that's why I love it. So, and that's where New Being Queen came from. It took a stripping. It took me to be stripped away to know who Yolanda was because I was covered. When I go to work, I put on the uniform. When I go to church, I put on the church clothes. I wear the title, wear it wrong, wear it right, wear it strong. I was up to it. But let's break this down to the root of it all. Who are you? Because I even had split personalities. When I'm at the prison, I'm one way. When I go to the church, I'm another way. When I go home, I'm Hellraiser.
Bring it all together, right?
And so no matter where I go, I can still be the same person.
That's right.
I could be that stern person. I could, bring some order to some things. I could still be that godly woman, even if I don't break down scriptures that I would talk like, but I'm still that woman. I'm still that women empowerment. I stay in my lane. I stay where God put me at. He said women empowerment. So he's not telling me to go out there and be somebody's pastor. He's not telling me. I stay where God tell me to be at. Until he tell me, if I need to elevate and go somewhere else, then I do that. But I'm telling you, we have to know who we are, whose we are, what God called us to do. Stay in that and you work it. I didn't think that being Nubian Queen, I didn't think it was going to break out into Nubian Queen magazine, NBQ magazine, Nubian Queen talk show, Nubian Queen talk show on YouTube, Nubian radio talk show. I didn't think it was going to branch out into the women empowerment movement and didn't realize it was going to. When we become who God have created us to be authentically, it breaks out into other veins. So when they say, I am not my trauma, you don't realize once you receive your healing and God show you who you truly are, your authentic you, who he have created you to be. Not those titles. I am not my trauma. I am not my title. I am who God created me to be. When you begin to step into that to the fullness, God even had me to do a cartoon. And that even... blossom. And when you begin to walk in your authenticity and be proud of who God created you to be, even when you're broke, ain't no money in your bank account, vehicle acting up, stuff don't look right. You are still who God created you to be. You may be a women empowerment. You may be a broke women empowerment. You may not have no money in your account, but you are still who God created you to be. And you work that you have, even when things begin to happen, because all that trauma, it empowered me and encouraged me and strengthened me to be who I am today. And it helped me to get to the place where I'm at, and I can stand in it. And so when people see you and they realize you experienced some trauma in your life, but they say, but how are you able to withstand all of that? Baby, I've been going through this since I was young. I was built strong. I was built God strong. I was built to endure. I was built to empower. I didn't just wake up like this.
That's right.
A lifelong series of stuff. And all that stuff that we call trauma, it will help you if you allow God to heal you in those broken areas.
That's right.
And it's beautifully and gracefully broken. And then that's how New Queens Women Empowerment came to be. Thank you for asking that question. I didn't mean to go all right there.
You needed to do that because let me tell you something. What you do is you are definitely an encourager. I'm thankful to have you in my life.
Amen.
You are very encouraging. I have never run across anybody that's just there. If you can't do it at that time, then you always say, hey, I'll get back with you later or whatever. But you're honest, you're authentic, and you are very much like a God-fearing woman and very encouraging.
Amen.
I don't trust a lot of people, but I can say that I trust you. And I trust the God that's in you. I trust the God that's in you. That I definitely do. And to God be the glory. I'm thankful to have you in my life. I don't even remember how we even ran across each other, but I don't even know
what happened.
But I don't even think it even matter at this point.
What I can say
is your New Being Queen movement. It's a whole movement.
Yes.
It's definitely a movement for those women out here that don't know who they are, that don't feel loved, that don't feel beautiful.
Oh.
They don't feel beautiful. They don't feel worthy. They don't feel worth it. Their confidence is on low. New Being Queen movement is here to encourage you to bring out that inner beauty that's locked on the inside. There is an unlocking that happens with being a part of the New Being Queen movement.
Come on.
There is an unlocking that happens. And the thing about us is we all have a blueprint.
Right.
Before we are even formed in our mother's belly. Jeremiah 29:11.
Come on now.
Before I knew you. Before God already knew us. Before he even placed us over there, because the blueprint had to be made first.
Right.
The blueprint being made first says, okay, Yolanda is going to be our prophetess.
Woo!
Yolanda is going to be our encourager.
Come on.
Yolanda is going to represent the kingdom. Yolanda is going to bring forth the confidence in the women in here that have lost their confidence.
Jesus.
Yolanda is going to represent the voice of the voiceless.
Come on.
So there is a lot of things on that blueprint that a lot of times we don't realize that God placed inside of us.
Right.
But we have to dig down deep.
Dig.
To find her.
Come on, Jesus.
That teenage or young girl that you were that hid over in the corner, that sat in the corner, that was waiting for you to heal her, or was waiting for you to get over your traumas, or waiting for you to even smile. She sat there and she waited until you decided to say, I don't own you no more.
Come on.
You don't own me anymore.
Come on.
You don't tell me what to do.
Ooh.
You don't tell me how to feel anymore.
Right.
I'm tired of you. It's time for me to move forward. To know who I am in God.
Come on.
To know that I am not my trauma.
Yes.
To know that I am destined for greatness.
Yes.
To know all of that. And then some. It's so much more. It's so much more. And it's so much bigger than we are. Because a lot of times we sit back, we got these attitudes about things that's happening in our lives. But what we got the attitude for when God said, you need to go through this because I'm building your character. You need to go through this because I need you to represent me here.
Jesus.
You need to be in this place because these people need to see me.
Come on.
You need to be here because it's darkness in here. We need a little shot of light over in here because ain't none in here. So I'm sending you.
Come on.
When do we decide to say, it's okay for you to send me? Here I am.
Send me.
Here I am. Send me. But that's what you did when the Nubian Queen movement was birthed through you.
Jesus, send me. I say, I'll go. It took a lot for me to get there to the point where I'll go. But send me. And now I'm on that. And God, send me. I'll go. I met my beautiful mentor, Dr. Kishma, and she, you know, helped, you know, me come out of my my comfort zone. Because I used to sit there and say, I don't want to do Clubhouse. I don't want to, you know, be in front of people and talk. People need to know who you are. People need to know who God called you to be. You got to get yourself out there. How would they know? And I'll be like, well, I'm not you. And you can't see how I do it and compare and try to do it how I do. Do the way God gave it to you. You know, so I had to, I appreciate that. And so for everybody who's out there, when you say, I am not my trauma, when you begin to branch out and do with God, you can still start ministry and business and do things that God created you to do, although you've experienced some trauma. But you have to understand that healing has to take place before you really start ministering. Because this, let me tell you something. The same areas that you experience all that trauma in will be the same area in which God's going to use you mightily in. Let me say that again. The places where you experience all that trauma, all that hell and pain that you experienced will be the same, the very area that God gonna use you mightily in. So if you felt like you were inadequate, you felt like you wasn't good, if you felt filthy, if you felt worthless, God gonna use you to empower somebody, tell them that you are somebody. You can do this thing. You can do whatever you put your mind to do. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And he's gonna bring somebody to push you out of that comfort zone to believe in yourself. To believe in yourself, not even believe in yourself again, but to believe in yourself. And then if you fall and you stop, then God will send you somebody that can help you get back up again and believe in yourself again. Believe in the God that created you. Because greater is he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. You mean to tell me you called me to do this? And then I'll tell you something. God will give you your own blueprint. You can't do it how somebody else do it. You cannot compare your ministry and how God gave it to you to somebody else. When you walk in that authentically and you find that, you can't go and see how somebody else do it. You can't do it. You can't, and it's not going to look like somebody else's. Yours are going to be uniquely yours. Even your fingerprint, even your twin's fingerprint is uniquely yours, and their fingerprint is uniquely theirs. You don't even have the same fingerprint as your twin. God, when God give you something, he's going to give you something uniquely yours. So allow yourself to heal from your trauma.
That's right.
And then from that, say, God, what am I to do with all this pain? Did I experience trauma when my mom lost her mind and she went crazy? Are you calling me in the field of psychology?
Right.
If you experience being told as a child that you won't go mount to nothing, you're good for nothing, you're a disgrace and embarrassment to the family, you had a child at 15 years old, are you going to use all that being put down to encourage somebody to tell them you can do it? You go do whatever you put your mind to do. And they look at your life and they say, well, she did it and she's doing it. So can I. So not only would God use you to encourage and empower somebody, but use you as an example. So you got to go through it. You are needed. So your trauma is, you are not your trauma. Matter of fact, that is your greatest blessing. So you can help other people. That's what's going to be, that's where the anointing going to come from.
Yeah.
Your anointing comes from your trauma. It's going to come from being squished. It's going to come from being pressed. It's going to come from being being in the fire. It's going to come from being going through hard times and dark seasons. It's going to come through that. Some of the greatest people in the world experience some form of trauma in some way, shape, form, or fashion. And they allowed that to help catapult them to the next level. They said, well, how she's able to do all that? How she able to do this? Baby, I was built like this.
Sometimes okay.
I was a child. That's how come I can do. I didn't just wake up like this. I was been developed even as a child. I just allowed myself to heal so I can be a blessing to other people. So I'm here to encourage you all that you have to allow that what you went through. Don't allow it to break you down, to make you feel like you're worthless, to make you feel like you're inadequate, to make you, you know, your low self-esteem, and you know, you don't feel like you don't matter in this world. And if you die today or tomorrow, I'm telling you, y'all, these are things I felt, that if I die today or tomorrow, no one would care. It wouldn't even matter to them if you were dead. The enemy had me to think that I was so insignificant. The more hell, the more stuff the enemy tell you about you is the total opposite.
That's right.
You feel like if you die today or tomorrow, it won't matter. No, you matter. You matter. You are not dumb and stupid. You're not inadequate. You're not, you know, having these low self-esteems and, you know, you don't feel good about yourself. I'm here to tell you that you are somebody. You are special to God. And he put you on this earth to do something great, mighty, and powerful. And he wants you to do that. And he wants you to perfect that thing. And you stay at it. God, what are you telling me to do today? You know, I know we want to help other people. We want to be a blessing to other people. But what have God created you on this earth to do? Because he's given all of us an individual assignment on this earth to do. And that's where we find fulfillment. We find that fulfillment because you do feel empty once you start going through all that trauma. It seems like it snatches the life out of you. It snatches your innocence. It does. But at the same time, you have to get back to that place where you begin to find you again. When you have to get to that place, you have to find you and who God created you on this earth to do. You have to stay on that course that God created you to do, how he told you to do it, and not look at how somebody else do it. Because God, I'm telling you, when you begin to find that thing that God created you to do, you're going like, my God, it's endless. This is
right.
Endless.
And everything that you need is inside of you.
It's inside. And you know what? Before I started the Women Empowerment like I did, I said, God, I want to be a part of a group that empowers, that encourages, that love each other, that laugh and joke, that have fun, and we're bossing up. And God said, and you can be, he said, all the stuff that you are desiring is all the stuff that you can be. You don't have to look for it in somebody else. I put that desire inside of you. Mm-hmm. God said, give you the desires of your heart. Because the very thing that you are desiring, he put those desires there. And so I was looking for women empowerment, movement. When God had the movement inside of me, I had to move in that God had put inside of me. And so the very things that we're looking for in other people to help us, God said, you can be that. We just have to seek that, you know, that we're looking for, you know. And I want to tell y'all this is something that was very much encouraging to me, is when I got ready to start more into the movement, right? What even in the movement that good? Not like I want it to be. And God told me to get Dr. Cindy Trim to come and be a speaker. I said, I don't have no title. You know, took the job away from me. I'm not in the ministry no more. I'm not in a church. Don't have a church building. I don't have no titles. I'm just me. And you want me to go and get Dr. Cindy Trim to come speak for me? And then God began to instruct me, get your website together. Find that church building, and then and I did all that he told me to do. I said, okay, God, daddy, I'll do it, because I don't want no mess. So I did it, and I was like, oh, it's not gonna happen. 5-6 months I hadn't gotten a response back from her team, and I was like, oh, that's not gonna happen. So I don't even know why I even tried it. Y'all, I got a response back, she approved it, and then COVID hit.
Wow.
And then COVID came again. Then COVID came again. But then she still remained there, and we got her on Clubhouse as a speaker, Dr. Cindy Trim. And I looked at myself like, who am I? Who am I that she's going to say yes to it? Who am I? I'm nobody. You know, I even got my ministry together. I'm still working on this thing. God, you're not going to. And God would do things to validate and confirm stuff. He'll do it every time. And that's how I was able to get Dr. Cindy Trim as a speaker.
Nothing is impossible for him.
And people were like, how did you do that? How did you do that? It was all God. And I followed his instructions. And so when we're thinking about, we can't get this celebrity, we can't get that person do this and do that. And God will turn around, he'll tell you to do certain things. And then people are going to be sitting back trying to figure out, how did you accomplish that? How did you do that, God?
Mm-hmm. I always ask you, be like, how did you? But at the same time, I already know the answer.
Right.
But of course, it's a rhetorical question.
Yes.
But I'll be like, God, you know, a lot of times we don't think that we're doing that much.
Yes.
And it don't seem like we're doing that much.
Right.
But it don't seem like that when you're doing it in God, for the glory of God, when you're doing it to his glory. And it's not about us.
It's not. It's like God.
None of it is about
us. It's like when you do what he say, and I'll put a little sprinkle on it.
Right.
So when you're doing something, I'm going to put that little sprinkle, I'm going to make it better. I'm going to make it good, that shine. I'm going to put that glue, put my glory on it.
that's the best part about this life.
Right.
That's the best part about this life, that we're not doing it alone.
Right.
And when you choose to do it alone,
right,
then you're choosing to be confused.
Woo.
Because he's not going to allow his children to be confused.
Right.
And jacked up out here. He's not. That's what he's not going to do. You know, and that's what I love so much about God, is when I try to step out and do things on my own without, I'll tell you what a prime example was. It was, I guess, a Clubhouse, right?
Uh-huh.
I was on Clubhouse, and you know, a lot of times people are asking for donations and different things. They ask you, you know, to give money and stuff. And I'm a giver.
Uh-huh.
But I have gotten to the point that I'm like, okay, I need to stop just giving.
Right.
I need to just consult with God before I keep doing all of this giving, because remember, he called me for my job too.
Yes.
Calling me for my job, and I'm steady doing this, fishing out this money that I really don't have.
Right.
And I said, God, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to give to this ministry? He said, I don't want you to give nothing else for the rest of this year.
Oh, come on.
You have given.
Yes.
And you have given. And as you know, and what I have is very strong sense of discernment.
Discernment, right.
You can't give on this bad ground.
Come on. Ooh.
These bad grounds.
And expect a harvest.
Yeah, you're not going to. You keep on throwing your seed out there in some hard soil that's never going to be moist enough for anything to come up so you can reap a harvest from it.
Right.
So, but it was just the fact of even talking to God saying, should I? Because it could have been just that one time that I gave that he said, I've been telling you to stop. I've been telling you to stop, but we have to pay attention.
Right.
We have to be obedient. When he told me don't give nothing else, girl, I was so cool with it. Because I was like, oh, okay. Because then when he tells me, I know for sure that he's saying, I need you to do this. I need you to do this. But because we're givers, because we're doers, because we're encouragers, and because we're willing to give more of ourselves than others are willing to give back to us.
Right. Yep.
It's okay, because what they're giving, we don't need anyway.
We don't need it anyway.
We don't need it anyway.
We don't need it.
We don't need it. Because if God's hand ain't on it, and if it's not a blessing from God,
right,
we don't need it.
Right.
It was something that you said earlier about, like, I guess it had something to do with like who we are, who we're destined to be or whatever. But I was sitting there thinking, like, even if you were a prostitute, if you were on drugs,
you better say it.
If you didn't raise your kids, if you were an abuser, those things still don't keep you from the goodness of God.
Come on.
They still don't keep you from the goodness of God.
Right.
Though we are overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony.
And God is still going to use you. He's still
going to use you.
I, you know, I would tell people because of, you know, the trauma, I did some things that I regret. And Dr. Wendell, don't let me cut you off. You were going to say something?
No, you good. Keep okay. on. So, no, I was just saying, God is still, you know, you still that person who right. God is going to use, because everything that you went through, when God turns that thing around, you are just the person that he need at that particular time to Come heal on. Or help heal these people over
Come
here.
On.
Just for these people right here. He allowed you to go through the drug abuse and become Come a on. Prostitute and become this or that, or even go through domestic violence, so that you can help these women over here to know that they can be overcomers, that they can be destined for greatness, that they can own their own home, that they don't have to have a poverty mentality, that they don't have to live a life beneath where God has for them. That was it.
So while you were talking, I was thinking about it, you know, that through the trauma and the things I experienced, I wasn't always a good girl. You know, I call myself a glorified prostitute. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I say that is because I was taught and told that you have no business having a boyfriend, a man that you sleeping with, laying up in your house, and he don't pay the bills. So I was in a whole relationship, and I would tell my boyfriend, not my fiance, not my husband, if you laying up in here, you getting all these cookies, you didn't be paying bills. You didn't be giving me some money, you know, and guess what? And if he wouldn't pay no bills, I would lock down. You wouldn't get none of these cookies. I'm selling my body for money. That's really what I'm doing. That's a glorified prostitute. You're a glorified prostitute. You're still prostituting. Yeah. You're getting paid for laying up. You're getting paid for giving him your cookies. Mm-hmm. That's what you're doing. And that's why I call myself a glorified prostitute. You prostituting. You giving up your body for that money. And so when we sit back, and then but God still used me. He still blessed me. You know, I still was able to get married. You know, now I can make it right. So you got to pay bills now. Nah. So I ain't, you know, that's what you're supposed to do. So that's I ain't got right. to try to put none over his head. Like I got a lock down and a thing, you know, for him to get some, for me to get money and stuff like that. But, mm-hmm. you know, God still used me in that. You know, God still chose me, still used me. And even though I might have made some errors in my life, a lot of them I made. Oh my goodness, I was, you know, we don't talk about all the stuff that we've done to people and even to our children because we were not healed.
Right.
And so when those things happen to us, it makes us a better person, and it helps us to see how we were so damaging to our first husband, so toxic to our husbands, to our children, to our family members and friends. You were messy. You were, because you were not healed.
That's right.
You know, but understand this, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. All that's God going to use all of that, even the stuff that you did, the stuff that was done to you. God's going to take all of that for you to learn from it. You know, that makes you valuable. Yes. That makes you somebody when you don't went through all that.
And that don't mean that you have to be shamefaced about what happened to you. Don't be shamefaced about what happened. It's okay.
It's okay.
I mean, it's not okay, but it's okay.
Yes, right.
Not okay that it happened, well, but okay good. Because God is going to turn that thing around.
Going to turn it around, right.
He's going to turn it around.
And you think about it. Who was
What's that?
That
song? What the enemy meant for evil, God has worked it out. For my good.
You better say that song. Who was it? You think about it. A lot of people may not like her, but what I respect about this woman is that she's out there empowering and encouraging people the best that she know how. And her name is Coach Stormy. I don't know this woman, but I see her doing things. So she's like telling people, you can come from being a stripper. You can come from being this kind of person to now becoming a millionaire, multi-millionaire, billionaire. You can become great by encouraging people and telling them this was my life, but look at what God is doing now. Now, I'm not saying that she's out there ministering and preaching. I'm not saying any of that. But you can come from the pole to the palace. You can come from being someone who's out there stripping and showing your whole everything, giving up all your whole body, you know, and looking at, you know, and people looking at your body to doing some great things. It doesn't matter from what status and level you came from. God can still use you. You still alive. You still have purpose. You still have an opportunity to be who God created you to be. So it doesn't matter how bad off you were, because God can reach way down to pick you up. He is not that God that said, oh, she's too far gone. No. God will get the worst of the worst. You could be so messed up on drugs, and God can change that up and then make it so good. All them drugs you were on that had you so messed up in your mind, God can clean your whole mind up and you not even ever look like you did a drug in your life.
That's right.
And even if you lost teeth, God give you some teeth. Not somebody be by here right here doing teeth. You can get some teeth in any kind of way somewhere in your skull. He'll give you some teeth. Shoot, I need some teeth. I don't need some teeth. But I'm just saying, you'll take all of that and beautify it. I mean, just the way technology is. So you can't sit there and say, I am too far gone. You can take that ministry.
Yeah, nobody is too far gone.
You can help me. Somebody who's never done drugs in my life, help me to understand what it do to your mind to make you want to continue the drugs. Because the drugs obviously don't make you feel bad. Obviously make you feel good in some kind of way because you're still doing it. So, you know, I would love if someone to tell me how it really makes them feel, you know, because they stay on it and get on it for a long time. It's like it's a stronghold. What is that? You know, So I just had to share that. Okay, I'm done.
Well, I am going to, I am so thankful that you decided to accept the invitation to be here on this platform today. And I pray that you guys have gotten a lot from Yolanda today, because she has put it all the way out there for you guys to learn and to grow from the things that she has said. But I'm going to give you an opportunity to leave them with some final words here. Let me switch over so you could just have the floor yourself.
Okay. So I am here to encourage you and tell you that you are not your trauma, and the things that you experienced in life and all the things that you went through was there to build you to be who God created you to be. God put you on this earth to do some great and mighty things. And don't, no longer will you allow the things that you went through to stop you. No longer will you allow the trauma and the pain and the hurt to stop you. You are good enough. You are perfect for the job. You're perfect for the position. You're perfect for whatever God will have you to do. So don't stop. Continue on that path. If you stop, get back up again. If you haven't started, start it now. Start somewhere. That book you were supposed to write, write the book. God had me to write a book, Elevation to Queen Status. You know how many people came against? Who does she think she is calling herself a queen? Who does she think she is talking about elevation to queen status? First of all, you got to be a queen. And who did you just say? You got to get to that place where you take away all of the stuff that people are saying and get to the point where you just don't care. Because at the end of the day, you're not doing it for man. You're doing it for God, because he created you on this earth to do some things. And the same, some of the people that sat there and talked about who she thinks she's calling herself a queen are now sitting back calling themselves queen. So you are really secretly encouraging people. The people that sit there and talk about you, they secretly want to be you. You're inspiring those that sit back on the sideline. You're encouraging them to want to do what God created them to, because they sit back watching you. And you're helping them to know they can get up and they can do some great things. You have helped more people than you know. Just by you being authentically you. If you do hair, keep doing hair. If you do makeup, do your makeup. People will pay you for that. If you know how to work on computers, work on the computers. Fix people's computer. If whatever it is, if you do things, do it to the best of your ability. And there's ways that you can get finances for that. Don't allow your trauma and all the things you experience to stop and make you feel like you're inadequate and you're not good enough. It's time up for that. We're past that point of our life that we're feeling inadequate, that we feel like we're not good enough. God is calling you to do it. You may not have seen your family do it. You may not have seen this being done. That's a great opportunity to do it, because not many people are doing it. And if people are doing the things that you want to do, they're not going to do it how you do it. God has anointed you to do it a particular way. So you do how God has given you to do it. And you do it to the best of your ability. I love to empower women. I can't help it. Even if I start doing other things, I end up empowering people because that's what I do. And I even thought at one point in my life that who would want to be empowered? What is that? Encourages somebody. What is that? That's what the enemy had me thinking. But as I began to do, I realized that people feel good being in a magazine. They feel good getting on the radio show and telling a story. They feel good when they can talk on a radio show, like even a talk show, like on Wendy Rose show. They feel good about that. I am not my trauma. We are on this earth to do some things. We have to find out what it is that God has given us to do. What is it that you love doing? What is that you get up every morning and every day and you say, I can't help but do this. I just love doing this. That is probably part of what you're supposed to be doing. But God will add to that. You'll start having branches and roots coming from that. You'll start having different things coming from out of that thing that you love doing. So don't stop. Do not allow your trauma to stop you. Seek help. One of the things that I did is I went to a life coach. Her name is, oh my God, God help me. Because if I wouldn't have said it, I would have thought of her name. But I went to a life coach. And not only was she a life coach, but she was a beautiful woman of God. And so she was a life coach and a psychologist mixed together. And she's getting her doctorates. So go and get some help so you can get some guidance in life. And the reason I went to a life coach is because, like I said, I left the job, left the ministry. If God is telling you to do these things and you're saying, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, I'm going to do these things. Just walk out and just do it. And your back is against the wall and you finally step out and do it and do what God tell you to do. Because, you know, we were told you don't leave a job if you don't have a backup plan. Okay. But I'm here to tell you, you can find your purpose in that and doing what God called you to do. He will show you, but you have to continue seeking him. Get a life coach. Seek counseling. And those are things that I did to get me where I'm at today. And have I arrived? No, I have not. Do I still need help in some areas? A lot of areas I do. But I'm telling you, you can start somewhere. Do what God has created you to do. Be the best you can be and be the best version of yourself. Thank you for your time. I love you and blessings to you.
Listen, can you tell everybody how they can get in contact with you?
Yes, ma'am. They can go to the Yolanda Mitchell on Instagram. They can go on Yolanda Mitchell on Facebook. And if they want to get inside of NBQ Magazine, they go to nbqmagazine@gmail.com. We are doing cover photos. We're doing inside. We're doing advertisements. We're doing digital formats of the magazine. We're doing it all. And I love to put people out there. So not only if you want to get inside the magazine or on the cover, we'll do an interview just like this, you know, on Facebook Live so that you can talk about what you're doing. Just like Dr. Wendy has given me the opportunity. Y'all don't forget to come see Dr. Wendy so she can put y'all on her Facebook. You'll tell y'all something. I am not my trauma. It's a beautiful thing. And so however you can put yourself out there, do it. She asked me to come on her show, and I was like, yes, I will come. You know, so we have to get out of that nervousness and being afraid. We have to just do it. And so you can also reach me if you want to get on the radio show. You can also reach me at nbqtalkshow@gmail.com if you want to come on the radio show. If you want to be on the podcast, reach me as well. There are so many different things, but if you find me on Facebook, you will find everything on Facebook. If you want to know more about the women empowerment, reach out to me on Messenger under Yolanda Mitchell on Facebook. Dr. Wendy, one of the things that you share with me, and this may even be a conference, I don't know, but you said dig deep to find her. I don't even think you can remember when you said that. But when you talk about dig deep to find her, you know how deep that is? Dig deep to find her. How many women are walking around lost? They don't know their identity. They don't know who God have created them to be because of their trauma, because of their hurt, their pain, their suffering, being silenced, being told that they're not good enough, feeling inadequate, you know, feel like they're not good enough. They're feeling filthy, feeling worthless. Mm-hmm. Dig deep to find her.
Who
God have created you to be. You could be an advocate for children because you were molested. You know, you could be that one that speak for children. You could be, if you were adopted, you could be that one that would say, I want to go and I want to work for children and family. We are thinking that all the stuff that we went through was just traumatic. but that is helping us to find our purpose on this earth. So dig deep to find her. I don't know what you're going to do with that, but that was deep right there. That ain't what God gave me. But I'm telling you, you might want to look into that.
Oh, yeah. Digging deep to find her. Yes.
That's beautiful.
Well, thank you again for coming. And I'm going to close us out here and show played a little video so that they can know that you are an overcomer.
Thank you so much for this opportunity, Dr. Wendy. You're such a blessing. I pray that more people get on your show because I feel free here to talk. And that's because I'm on the show with you. So thank you for this opportunity.
You know I love you, girl.
I love you too.
Thank you guys again for joining us here live on Facebook, my Facebook group, which is Self Love Redefined, my regular Facebook group, which is Dr. Wendy Rhodes, and I can be located on all platforms as Dr. Wendy Rhodes, and also on my YouTube channel. So thank you guys again for joining us. It was a blessing for you guys to be here. It was a blessing to have Yolanda Mitchell here, our new Being Queen movement advocate here. So we thank you and have an abundantly blessed day. And don't forget, you are not your trauma, and healing is your portion.